Media recognition from Bloomberg, Reuters, Recycling Trade Publications. Patented process for 100% recovery of critical metals, including cobalt, lithium, nickel, manganese, aluminum. American Manganese is focused on recycling lithium-ion batteries for electric vehicles. American Manganese trades on the TSX Venture, AMY, the U.S., AMYZF, and Frankfurt 2AM. For more information, visit AmericanManganeseInc.com or phone me, Larry Ray, at 778-574-4444.
You're listening to HowStreet.com Radio, available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to HowStreet.com Radio, the online source for market opinions. Here is Jim Goddard.
My guest is Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. Welcome back to the show, Mike.
Oh, it's great to talk to you. It's been an interesting couple of weeks, and this week in particular has been interesting with the Federal Reserve meeting earlier this week and these GDP numbers that have come out.
Yes, for the second straight quarter, the U.S. economy has contracted under the old definition. That means recession. Yet in Canada, 11, or I should say there's a million job vacancies for the second month in a row. The U.S. has 11 million job vacancies. Yet Tesla and Shopify are laying off 10% of their workforce. This is the most confusing of all times, is it not, Mike?
Well, this is kind of par for the course, the way the stock markets have been this year. I think it's a bear market. The S&P has fell over 20%. It's probably down around 16% now. NASDAQ much worse than that. Crypto, of course, crashed. But I define a bear market one under the 200-day moving average. But within a bear market, you will have bear market rallies. And the economy, I think it is a lot of seemingly contradictory signs. First of all, the GDP contraction that you mentioned, I've always heard it said that two consecutive quarters means you're in a recession. Now, the Biden administration was coming out in the past few weeks saying, even if we get that, which we did get officially, that it doesn't mean we're in a recession because other indicators signal that things are okay. As you mentioned, the unemployment rate has not ticked up. There are still lots of job shortages in certain industries, even though there are layoffs in others. The labor market is tight, and there's different reasons for that. But that's being used as a sign to say, look, don't take these GDP numbers seriously if they're negative. And when the Federal Reserve Chairman gave a presentation after the Federal Reserve raised interest rates, he said, don't pay attention to the numbers. I'm not going to pay attention to the GDP numbers, so don't you pay attention to it. Well, I think what they're doing is trying to rewrite people's understanding by saying, okay, in the past, this is considered an indication of recession. Now don't think of it that way because they don't want blowback in different forms. The Federal Reserve wants to keep raising interest rates. They need to keep raising interest rates to beat down inflation, which has been perhaps the defining factor in the U.S. economy and around the world this year. The inflation has gone up almost every single month. Hopefully the inflation rate's peaking out for a little bit, but it's still going to be an elevated level. And that is, you know, starting to cause consumers to pull back spending. This week, Walmart announced that very fact and the stock dropped. And then Amazon announced it and their stock dropped. What's going on is that because the prices that consumers are paying for things are going up, many of them, their incomes are not going up to match. So they're falling behind in their spending power, and they're being forced to buy fewer items but pay more for the items they're buying. And it's finally, Walmart came out and said it hit them. And they're the biggest retailer in the country. Now, it's also impacting the small businesses, and the way they're spending money, causing some to cut back on their advertising budgets. And that's showing up now in the first place it showed up in 2020 in online advertising spending. So Google came out and said, oh, no, they're not spending as much. Their stock dropped. And this week, Facebook did the same thing. They reported a decline in revenue, their first ever, and their stock also dropped. So I think these are all signs that don't want to call it a recession because you don't want the blowback. I think they are recessionary signals. Now, the Biden administration has a different reason, I guess, to not want to say it's recession. They're fearful people will get angry at them, blame them for it. But I think they might be playing a dangerous game in being afraid to call it, to admit the economy has problems because it makes it look like they're in denial. And that's what hurt George Bush, the senior, when he lost to Bill Clinton. There was a recession then, and he was saying things like, it's just a recession because the media says it. Don't listen to them. Well, that's not comfort to people who feel like they're falling behind in the economy. Back then, sure, the unemployment rate was higher than it is now, but now people are being really hit by inflation and feeling like they're falling behind that way. So I think it's a danger that it's going to make the Biden administration appear to be out of touch, especially in these midterm elections. So it's tough situation that the politicians are facing, the Federal Reserve is facing, and everyone is, investors and consumers. Mm-hmm.
Now, we're old enough to have lived through the last great period of inflation, the late 70s, the early 80s, where I was lucky enough to work for an employer who gave us a cost of living bonus every 3 months, and people were cheering for inflation. Woohoo! I got an extra $175 on my paycheck. But in reality, people are still getting 2% pay raises, if they get one at all.
Yeah, that's basically where we're standing at now. And, you know, that's causing people's incomes, buying power, to fall behind. And another sign that the economy may be at least slowing down, if not heading into a recession or in one, is that the real estate prices are starting to soften. And there are reports that in the last month, the number of homes being built in the United States, new home building permits declined by about 20%. Now, I'm not trying to suggest we're heading for a real estate crash or something. And even if we have a recession, which I think we probably are in, it doesn't mean it's going to be, you know, awful. If you mentioned the 1970s, there's recessionary quarters during that time marked by inflation, and they called it stagflation. Essentially, it seems to me that that's what we're going through, a repeat of that when it comes to the economy. Happily or luckily, at the moment, we should be hitting a bit of a, you know, a little bit of a pullback in the rate of inflation because oil prices have come off their highs. And so commodities in general, agriculture commodities have dipped. We saw gold and silver take a dip in June and July, up until recently. Gold seems to be stabilizing or attempting to on 1700. It's rallying off that level now, which is good for it after it fell below 1700 last week. But it's off the high of March, that's for sure, which, you know, we saw this surge in inflation. Hopefully it's going to slow down, and be a little bit of a breather there. So the way I kind of feel is like we're in some sort of in-between period. And even in the stock market, that's how I view it. I think we're in a real bear market. Stock market's down this year, but we're having a decent week. It could carry over a little bit into August. This current stock market bounce is the way I see it. Others see it as a great rally to ride. I think if you ride it, you got to know when to get off. But either way, it could increase in momentum, you know, in the short run, which is sort of like, to me, a lull in a longer bear market that's probably not going to really end until this rate hiking cycle is over. And that's probably not going to happen until the end of this year or the second half of next year.
We'll have more with Mike Swanson right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Mike Swanson. Mike, even if we have a nice summer on the stock markets, do you think people are dreading this fall that perhaps that's when really bad things might happen?
Well, it's the funny thing about the stock market is you can see people write these stories saying that investor sentiment is negative. There's surveys that have suggested that. But when you look at what people are doing in the stock market, you see two different things. You see institutional money, large insiders selling. Elon Musk, the main one, sold $1 billion of Tesla shares last year, and he's doing it again this year. And Bezos did that. Many, many insiders are net sellers. But at the same time, small traders, even though a lot of them, there's a fewer of them than it was last year, the Robinhood people, for instance, a lot of them have been wiped out on the first half decline. They didn't know what they were doing. They got smashed, or they people went on margin, they got smashed. But the average investor, they're not taking money out of this market. They're doing the opposite. In fact, the statistics show, and you can do searches in the news to find these stories, that there's been more money put into the market this year by individual investors than taken out. In fact, May, and the data is delayed, but May saw the biggest amount of dollar money deposited in the stocks by American investors, small investors, than ever before. It was a record. So despite the bear market, despite all the bad news, despite the surveys that say people are negative, when it comes to what people are doing, they're acting bullish. So I don't think, you know, if the market does go up a few more weeks, days, months, I'm not trying to play it or really predict it, but just assume it does. People are going to get more bullish, not less. And they look at the stock market as separate than the world around them. They feel like it's totally disconnected. And as long as the market isn't falling enough to make them feel like, you know, they can't stand any more losses, they're going to remain bullish. That's, to me, what this year has proven, that even a 20% decline in the S&P has not been enough to cause a panic sell-off in this stock market this year. And I do think one will come before this bear market's over. But until it does, people are going to remain bullish. They're going to just keep thinking, well, even if the news is bad, the Fed will lower rates, the Fed will stop raising rates, the Fed will say something. They always have done before. So what's really happening is that the belief in the market has not been deterred, because for people, that belief is linked to their experience of having a Fed put in the market that's always been there to help them, to bail them out, and they believe it's still there. I think they're a little bit mistaken, because the inflation we have today is something that these people and myself have never experienced while being an investor in these markets, and the Fed is going to have to, it is so far, making that its priority over the stock market. And I think that at some point that's going to be a realization or a narrative that people start to understand. But as long as the stock market remains elevated, not crashing or, you know, having a bigger decline, people's belief in it is not going to end in the United States.
if you're under the age of 50, you haven't seen inflation like this.
No, you certainly haven't. And there's no real understanding among people. I mean, it's absolutely amazing. I know lots of people that started trading in the past 2 years that are under 40, and they don't understand how interest rates go up or down. They don't understand the relationship of inflation to interest rates or bonds to interest rates either. And so none of these things do they have view as being connected at all to what their Robinhood accounts do or the stock market. So it's a real mass, millions of uneducated investors who don't really have any idea what they're doing. They just see what's on their app when they load it up, which is a gyrating market and gyrating stock prices. That's their interaction with the stock market and their understanding of it. And there's just a lot more to what makes the market move than what you can draw out of looking at a price gyration that's, you know, on a daily chart. So it's a fascinating culture. Okay, it's an interesting time we're in. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, there's a TD ad that drives me nuts where there's a guy obviously in his 20s. Well, I don't get this investment thing. What should I do? Oh, you can just get an app on your phone, and there you go. You're a trader. Go to it. Well.
Well, to give you it's amazing. You see stuff like that. To give you an example, something just like what you said, in Las Vegas, I think it was last week or the week before, they had the World Series of Poker, and someone won, like $6 million or $8 million, some huge amount of money. And he put on Twitter and Reddit, I've won all this money. How do I invest it? Please give me ideas. I mean, the very idea that someone would solicit just random people off the internet to help them invest that kind of money, to me is pretty crazy. But that's the mentality that people have, you know, that I can get answers from going on message boards, just random stuff of people. I don't even know who they are. They got aliases, and they're going to help me get rich. It's just kind of crazy.
Now, I wonder how all those celebrities feel who were pushing Bitcoin. So many famous faces on your screen telling you, oh, hey, it's the wave of the future. You can't lose. And now we're getting sob stories from people who said, I put all my life savings into Bitcoin. I've lost $1 million.
Oh, it's a complete nightmare. And you know, someone sent me a screenshot of somebody on Twitter that said, I have this giant tax bill, and they moved some money into some crypto exchange, you know, sold the coins, and it turned to cash, and then their account was immediately frozen, and they weren't allowed to withdraw it, and this thing declared bankruptcy or halted it, all withdrawals. Yeah, it's really crazy. But that's, you know, these were not banks either with FICA insurance. In the United States, that's what we have. Other countries have insurance too on bank deposits. They weren't banks. They were told that these things are better than banks. The banks are evil. Get into crypto. And then it turns out the crypto exchanges, some of them at least, are much worse than people thought these banks ever were. No rules, no regulations, no oversight. And so the criminals created them, and the criminals used them and fleeced people.
Mm-hmm.
I hope the day will come, you know, that fewer and fewer people are trading crypto and getting into it. But eventually it's just going to fade away, I think, as a topic of discussion, and be replaced by gold and silver.
What about all these people who invested Bitcoin into NFTs? Now, I've seen them fall. Things that sold for $1 million now being resold for $1,200.
Oh, that was just as bad. And the most extreme example of what the crypto market is. But I was looking today, some statistics. There's something like 3 billion people that are using Facebook. Only 50,000 people use the metaverse goggles. Yeah, that, we talked about that a couple months ago. But only like 300,000 people have ever bought or sold an NFT. So it's a very, very, very tiny amount of people that ever got involved in that. But despite that, the hype over it, you saw advertisements for it all over the place. It looked to be like one of the biggest fads ever, but it's really just a small number of people who got victimized by it in the end.
So as we wrap up, Mike, how would you try to wrap our heads around what's going on and what should we be doing with our investment funds?
Well, really, I think people should not be trying to make giant bets one way or the other at the moment. Just kind of take it easy. And the reason why I say that is when we look at almost every single market now, it's below the 200-day moving average, and we're getting a rally back up. You know, so I see these as short-term counter-trend moves, and some things that got beaten down, such as gold and silver did, they may have bottomed, but it'll probably take some time of basing before they launch, you know, a big rally that lasts for months on end. And the stock market, in weaker sectors of the stock market, you know, they could top out and just start making new lows again before the year's over. So I think we're just in a short-term move and not get too excited about it, not just be kind of, you know, trade small, be cautious, and be flexible and willing to you know, take a different positions or, you know, in the fall or something.
Mike, thank you so much for chatting with us.
Thanks. Great to talk with you.
My guest has been Mike Swanson, editor of WallStreetWindow.com. If you have any questions for Mike or any of our other guests, you can send them to info@HowStreet.com. Our YouTube channel is Talk Digital Network. Find us on Twitter at HowStreet. We're also on Facebook. I'm Jim Goddard. Thank you for listening.
Comments made on HowStreet.com radio are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any matter whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at TalkDigitalNetwork.com. HowStreet.com radio is a production of HowStreet Media Incorporated.